Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to love to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. We are also on Pyramid One Network. We would like to welcome the listeners from Australia and also on Sedona Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio and also archived on iTunes. Please do check out our other shows. We have over 300 shows, and you can listen to them at any time. Today we're going to have a great show. Many times we've spoken about the spiritual path on this show. We've spoken about how you have love and light and where things are going and how to make different choices and how to get out of dysfunction and be able to get into functioning and reactions and non-reactions. And some people are still in the midst of, gosh, this stuff is still swirling about my head like this other alter ego up there. You know, it's just like this other stuff that I just kind of don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't really know what you mean. And they're like in a rush to say, you know, am I going to even tap into that other thing that's spiraling above my head? Or am I just going to say, you know, I'm going to stay in my comfort zone. I'm going to check out of this life and I'm good to go. Well, today we're going to be speaking to an author, Nicholas Corin. He is an acupuncturist and alternative practitioner in the state of Washington. And his book is The Power of Letting Go, Transforming Fear into Love. Yes, many people can understand these words, but there's a lot of people that can't. And that's what we'll be talking about today is what does that mean, the power of letting go? Does that mean I empty out my suitcase or I start decluttering my closet? Is that letting go? Or maybe I just say, you know what, you're a pain in my derriere and I get rid of some of my friends. Is that letting go? What does that really mean? And then transforming fear into love. Are you saying that even though I have a life-altering or life-ending potential event, health event, that I'm going to take my fear and I'm going to love it? Ooh, well, I don't know about that. And you know, now that all of my relatives are hovering around and I really didn't talk to them for decades, am I going to be loving them too to let go of my fear? Ugh. Can you imagine? So, gosh, all these quandaries, all these things that we think, all the decades of all these imprints into our life, and we're going, I just can't figure out my way with all this minutia. So today, Nicholas is going to be sharing with us his path of how he feels. We might be able to recognize things differently, maybe write a different story and start weeding out some of that. You know, everybody says, we have to go through it. We have to go through it. What if we just made our decision, I'm going to stop it, and today is going to be a different moment? And maybe just didn't have to bother to keep going through all of this stuff all the time and digging up all that old past. Wouldn't that be different? So, Nicholas, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Absolutely. It's a great pleasure for me to be invited onto your show.
Nicholas, tell me, I'm sure you've heard of people, they've got this thing spiraling around their head up there and they just don't want to buy into that circus, but they don't even know what it means, right?
Well, count me amongst them. I have spirals going around on top of my head every day.
Well, you know, and I think I work with a lot of clients, you know, as they claim it's their end of lifetime. And they're like, oh, well, just bring everybody around. I'll tell them all what I thought of them for, you know, my lifetime. And then I'll bestow on them all my guilt that they're going to take care of now for their lifetime. And I'm thinking, oh, yikes, you know. And we wonder, really, are we really living our lives, or are we waiting and holding off, or are we just going around spewing things? I think that's where I think a lot of people are now, is at a point of chaos. In other words, everything is so spewing out of focus by the energy and things going on in the world that they don't really even know what to hold on to. So can you explain a little bit maybe about why? I mean, hey, we wouldn't have had this conversation 10 years ago, the power of letting go, right?
Right. Okay. Well, let me try to answer your question by referring to, I'm sure you're familiar with, and maybe your listeners are familiar with, the research that was done into the regrets, the seven major regrets of the dying people at end of life.
Right.
You're familiar with those.
Mm-hmm.
So, what it comes down to is essentially, I wish I'd worked less and played more. I wish I'd spent more time in nature. I wish I'd spent more time with those people who are closest to me, quality
right.
time. And, you know, that's very crystal clear that a life can be full of stuff or activity, but you come to the end and you look back in dismay and you think, I never really lived life the quality, and I never really communicated from my heart of hearts to those dearest to me, and now I'm at the end of the road. I think if people, it is a terribly confusing time to be alive, but one way out of this labyrinth is to simplify everything and trying to ask yourself those questions now. What
right.
is, what do I really value?
Mm-hmm.
And
I think also, like, each day you get up and you say, you know, am I going to do this crazy dance today? Or what can I eliminate today that really is so unimportant anymore?
Well, in order to do that, you have to find a quiet space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that you have to have a practical way of tackling this problem. So you have to create a quiet space in your house, in your yard, an inner and outer space where you can step out of the matrix of all the craziness and just feel that, like you're reflecting on what's really important and valuable, even just for a few seconds. And that's the only way to restore this power of letting in, you know, power letting go, really. If I were to republish it today, I would call it the power of letting in. You know, it's how can I let in a sense of what makes my life meaningful and beautiful, and how can I, you know, develop that.
And, you know, a lot of people, they keep running in life. And, you know, I have to do this. It's demanded of me. It's required of me. It's expected of me. That type of dogma talk. And that's really on one side, and when you get that quietness and you let it in, what you're letting in is rest or time for yourself, self-care, self-respect, and then you're able to fully give to people in a different way instead of feeling like you're drained all the time, you know, like bringing that pattern forward. You're always drained. You can't quite pay attention to the kids. You can't quite make the right meal. You burn things in the kitchen, you know, simple things like that. So really it's about, it will help you if you can reverse that trend instead of just saying, you know, I have to do it, right?
Well, I think especially with females, you're trained away from yourselves. You're trained not to value yourselves deeply and to get to know yourselves. Like recently I had a woman patient come in with an eating disorder and with suicidal ideation and tremendous, you know, sadness. And she's been a wonderful single mom, and her previous husband was a Vietnam vet, died of cancer, very, very angry. It turned out when I met with her that she was abused, you know, by her elder brother as a young girl and so on and so forth. All this history of absorbing other people's anger or dysfunction into her own body. And now at the age of 47, you know, she's ashamed of her addiction to food and of passing that on to her teenage son as a addictive person and therefore weakening him and his resistance against drug culture, you know. So the point here is that she's an example of a woman and of a human being who is not really yet able to treasure herself as herself rather than as the wonderful mother that she's been in very difficult circumstances. And so her core message to herself is, you know, I'm not worthy, I've not been a good mother, I've not been a good person, because I'm creating this bad role model by eating dysfunctionally to my son, rather than, you know, I reared him, I protected him, I got through all of this difficulty, I got through my own abuse, my own dysfunctional, violent family, and I made it to this stage, and my son is young, is healthy, is doing well. She's unable to recognize in the mirror her own inner beauty and strength. So how does she come out of this? That's the question.
Right.
You know, how to step forward out of this.
Right. Because sometimes, I mean, I can say there are millions and millions of people right there at that stage that you just described. And what they said, well, I'm going to keep fishing around until I find my, till somebody justifies me, till somebody tells me what I want to hear, or somebody takes that key and turns the lock and, hey, I'll be forever indebted to them. So in other words, they're consistently looking outside of themselves for that. And then all that does is ends up being another dependency if you find someone that's going to do that for you.
Well, that's poison for the soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sure if your readers are familiar with Paracelsus, but Paracelsus was, as you know, one of the greatest doctors who ever lived in the 16th century. Mm-hmm. And his perhaps most famous saying was, let no person who could be herself belong to another.
Yes.
Which means, don't shortchange yourself and give your power away and try to be a carbon copy, a Xerox of what another person's or society's expectations are. You need to be who you are. That's the absolute bottom line. And that's very difficult for people to do, actually, obviously. But it's the only way.
Right.
Go ahead.
And to find that someone else is going to fix them, you know, they believe that there is a fix out there. But if you look at it, you know, the Catholic religion teaches you if you commit a sin, you have penance. Schools teach you if you get a bad grade, you take another test. Your parents teach you if you did it wrong, do it right again till it gets perfect, you know. Or, you know, all of these different type things, and that, you know, really, that's pretty much what everybody has felt or been ingrained in for so many decades in life, is that, you know, you do this action and there will be an equal reaction coming back. And that's something
right.
So totally different. You talk about it in your book, how we should look at it now.
Yes, it's true. You know, education is training, like training a dog or a seal. It's not learning. It's not teaching you wisdom or self-knowledge or life skills. It's
right.
teaching you response mechanisms and therefore training you to perform in a way that takes you away from yourself. And this is a systemic problem for people. And they end up in a crisis where they're overwhelmed, they're confused, and they're just looking for someone to take them out of the maze and fix it for them.
Right. And, you know, I think it's also, healthcare is headed for an implosion, as I call it, you know. I mean, it is just going to just fall down and crumble. And I see this a lot. And, in fact, I had a guest on one day and recently, and their book, I read it from front to back, as I do, and there was this one word in there that just took me back. And I almost canceled the interview, but I didn't, and I didn't bring it up. I just focused on the rest of the message and the story. But the word was about a patient being obedient to a doctor. Mm. And that, it was like, whoa, are you kidding? You know, and here we have gotten over, there's obedience in religion, there's obedience in healthcare, you know, there's obedience to your wife or your husband, there's obedience to your children. And I just think that word is so, I'd love to hear your take on that word.
Well, just, I have to admit, I'm completely dysfunctional when it comes to obedience. I'm not able to be obedient to authority of any sort. And the last thing I would ever expect is any of my patients to obey me, you know, because the authority, the power dynamic is poisonous. It's soul-destroying. And in health, there's the, you know, the nocebo effect, right? The opposite of the placebo effect, which I think is very, don't you agree that that's very, very tough, very underestimated in its, in its reach on people's body, mind, and the physiology?
Well, I think, too, I had a show on one day. I had Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. on. And we were just getting ready to start the show, and I was saying, oh, my gosh, you know, we're having a bad storm. And we started the show, and I was saying, oh, you know, my website, I was getting ready to rewrite it. And after reading his book, you know, I was doing one page on their biography, and I said all I had was on the page was I am. And for 6 to 9 months, I could not put another word down there. Nothing made sense to me. There was nothing that should be there. It should just be blank. And I tried to explain this. I said I need a blank, and the web person kept forcing it down me. No, you need to, you know, you have to remember other people are in different places. You have to write it. And I'm like, I don't have anything there. And then all of a sudden, there was a storm outside and the biggest cloud. I think we have it on one of the archive shows. The biggest clap of thunder you have ever heard. I'm telling you, we both jumped. It was so interesting. And we said, you know, that's really what it is. We try so hard to put up all these masks of who we are and what we do and everything. And if you don't reach, you know, that potential or what that other people think you are, they kind of like distance themselves. I mean, I've even gone to meetings or parties and stuff where if someone asked you what you were doing and it wasn't par on their course, they didn't talk to you for the rest of the night. And I went, oh, my goodness, what such a missed opportunity, you know? And people are feeling that in life. I think, you know, let's say when kids get out of college, you know, they don't do the profession their parents wanted. They do something else, and they're just not recognized or not heard. So I think really the power of letting go and, you know, is like also, too, that people really want to be heard. They want to be recognized that they're here, and they want to be loved. So really those three things I think are so vitally more important now than the degrees or the money or all that other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need to reclaim our humanity and learn to live and appreciate one another, because we've been so mechanized and we've become so isolated by the way the system has become so fundamentally dysfunctional globally, you know. And so the art of listening is actually a very important medical facet of medicine, perhaps the most important, because if the doctor cannot not just hear but listen deeply to the patient, heart-to-heart connection can't be there, and the patient will not be able to open up their trust, will not be able to find a way out of the maze. You know, there has to be that type of a bonding. And if my advice to people, you know, out there in the world, if you find that people aren't willing to listen to you, Don't worry about it. You just need to take a step back, say, well, that's an example of what I don't want to be like.
Yes.
And there are other people like me out there who are feeling this, and it's painful, and it's disempowering at first, but you can turn that around by going inwards and developing your own strength.
And can you tell us a little bit how to do that? And I'm seriously, you know, because give us a few examples, because I think people say, I don't want to be like that, or they'll come up with the first initial step for some people is, oh my goodness, my mother used to do that. And then their words are, I don't want to do that. So eventually, you know, after they get to the point where I don't want to be doing that, instead of putting the blame on the outside force, just take it where you are for right now and deal with yourself. Can you know, share a little bit how people can even look at that?
Yeah, well, you know, life is complicated. We're complicated, and we can't just shrug off all these parental influences just by saying, "Oh,
right.
I'm done with that. Gone."
Right.
You know, we have to be patient, and we have to look at ourselves as a work in progress, and think about small steps, and two steps forward, one step backward. And acknowledge if we've made some progress gradually, not all of a sudden everything's better and I'm different.
Right.
And I think trying to be the best we are in all situations, trying to be honorable, trying to be compassionate, trying to be passionate, not shut down, trying to express ourselves even in difficult situations without flying off the handle, but not dumbing, being numbed down or clammed up by the lack of listening of the other person. Being persistent in that is quite a task, but it's very much worthwhile. You know, you have to kind of not be the passenger, you have to take the steering wheel of the vehicle of your life and hold it and then turn it, learn how to turn this way, learn how to turn that way. That's something that most of us have lost. We feel strapped in, buckled down in the back seat or the passenger seat, and we can't really do anything about it.
I think that comes along, too, with a lot of depression that everybody's having these days. I cannot tell you how many people I know that are on multiple depression drugs, and they're even coming back with the where they zap your brain. And we won't even go to that, but I've even heard of people having that 15 and 20 times done in a year, and I'm going, I did not think that they still did that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a conversation with these people, you can hear and feel their desperation, that they're just looking, as we've said in the show, to be heard and listened to and cared about. They just have this little lack that they feel. And as you said in your book, The Power of Letting Go, is that sometimes this lack is that fear of that feeling of non-connectedness. And maybe they know that what all that stuff that they can leave behind, they just haven't found the connectedness core. And in your book, you have a lot of ways to be able to start generating that connectedness. You talk about, you know, different ways to look at your life, and you have a few breathing techniques in here, and you have meditation in here and exercises, and I think that's important for people to say, I don't know what it's about, but I'll sit down and try it. I don't know if it's going to work, but I have nothing to lose. And that's really important, is just to say one thing. I'll just read this page today and say, okay, I don't get it, but I'll do it. Next morning, I still don't get it, but I'll do it. And then maybe by the end of 2 or 3 weeks, you'll say, oh, I forgot to do it. So you eventually start to generate that feeling that something else is out there besides just your life as you thought it was, right?
Yeah, you know, our clinic up here is on San Juan Island, so it's up in the Pacific Northwest, and it's incredibly gloriously beautiful place to live, and we chose to move here from Seattle 5 years ago, open up our we have a lot of community outreach going on here, and with a lot of exercises that we provide for people to literally come in and step out of that place of lostness and confusion. But what I want to say is even though we're in this magical place with the orcas and the eagles and the deer, the fox and the otter and, you know, mystical patches of forest and mountain and vistas into Canada, it's so beautiful, yet there's about, in the very small community, there are six regular addiction groups that meet every week. There's Meth Lab on the island. And if you know about Hawaii, I mean, the drug problem over there is through the roof.
Right, right.
And, well, people have access to this pristine, beautiful landscape. How come they're still bedeviled with these addictions? So it's not, you know, I can't say, oh, you just need to go to a beautiful place, because wherever you are, wherever you go, you take yourself with you, obviously. However, I think the answer is movement. And if you move your body and your breath and you bring yourself to a natural environment and you start to learn again what it means to be able to move your limbs, move your torso in fluid ways, like branches, like clouds, like animals, like plants do, you start to begin to connect automatically with that other realm that's the source of your vitality and your freedom. And you move away from the brainwashing and the control and the obedience, you know, that's been programmed into you, where then they end up pumping you full of poisons and giving you a diagnosis that maybe has nothing to do with the truth.
And, you know, it's so funny you said that, because, like with myself, it was about 10 years ago. You know, we had Hurricane Katrina here we were in. All kinds of things were going on with medical here and working and not working and just moving here and the whole thing. And I just totally had a physical, financial, emotional, everything crash. I mean, everything went away. It was tough, you know, and for like 2 years, I mean, I had headaches like nobody's business, where I'm telling you, there were days that I would have wanted to smash my head through the wall and say, you know what, it's a whole lot going to feel better doing that than the headache that I've got right now. It was just such intense energy in my head. So I just tried to phase through it and kept going through it and kept getting out of it and kept, you know, and let everything say, it's okay, it'll be all right, and just keep going. And I just kept going. And I didn't go towards the drugs, and I didn't go towards all of those other things. And I kind of stayed away from a lot of the naysayers, oh, this is how you do it, and this is what you have to do, and why aren't you doing that, and all that other stuff. And it's so funny you said about doing the flow. And, you know, I've been feeling really well, and it's been now 10 years, and things have been great. And, you know, it's just about being in peace with yourself. And then, don't you know, my shoulder? Can't move my arm the past 2 weeks. I said, okay, what am I not looking at? You know? And it's like, you just have to step back and say, what am I not looking at? What am I, you know, what is your body trying to tell you? And my shoulder simply has not wanted to move for like 2 weeks. So I said, okay, well, guess we're just going to sit here and figure out something else. And don't you know, what I'm starting to do is to write, you know, a book now. And that's what kept me sit there and start figuring it out. So that's what I've been doing. And slowly, within the past day or two, it's starting to move again. So we just have to look, I think, and sometimes say, you know, this might sound crazy, but this is what I'll do. And you know what? Hey, if it sounds crazy, give it a try. You never know. And it's about being outside of the box, being outside of your realm of what you might have believed before. Just try it. And that's really what we talk about freedom. That which it presents in front of you, just say, hey, I'll give it a whirl, right?
Yeah, you've got to go for it. I mean, life is yours to live. It's not someone else's to live for you in the end, right? And I think many of your listeners, and I certainly have, like you, I've been to those places where you just feel, okay, the sky's crushing down on me, or I'm being crushed, and you just want to end it, or you just want to explode or something, and you reach desperation point, and what do? And so I wrote the book partly because of that, and actually I myself went through a very difficult situation, very complex situation after writing the book. which I won't go into now, but it was one of those, you know, life experiences where everything's coming at you from every angle.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I thought, well, let me read this book as though it was somebody else's book. Let me see what it does. It actually helped me a lot.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Actually, that felt, like, feel so good. And I thought, oh, now I feel I can get through this. And I did. And, you know, and it's about keep going.
Yes.
You keep going and you keep, if you keep going, you know, so, of course, sometimes situations you're going to, physically, you might have to leave this body. We die eventually. But not on a spiritual level. If you can maintain that inner fire, it's very sacred. And if it's not a complete life-death predetermined situation, but it might be on the knife's edge, often you can get through it and become stronger and healthier by continuing to move through, because you will move through to the light if you go through the darkness. You have to have the courage, though, and you have to have the guts. You have to have the passion.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that medical profession has no respect for, no understanding for, passion in the heart.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think passion in the heart, as soon as they say something like that, they see your blood pressure going up, they're giving you a drug. They're seeing you sink, they're giving you another drug. It's like, how can I stop this? Yeah, it's like when people say normal limits to me, I'll say, what the hell is that? You know, what is a normal limit? You know, to me, it means absolutely nothing. There is no such thing as normal limits. Normal limits is something you defined based upon your belief at that time. And, you know, I even tell women, if things are really hard, and this I have done. So, and I love to share my stories, and people say, oh my gosh, you're telling all your personal stuff. I said, you know, I'm not the only one going through this. I can guarantee that. So I always like to share it, because sometimes people will say, okay, it'll be all right. So I have done it was some days there in the past, it was so tough. I mean, I literally lay down on the floor and kick and scream, and you say, okay, how much anger do I have? Someone had said to me at one time, oh, you have so much anger in you. And I looked at myself and said, no, I don't. And one day I lay down on the floor and said, okay, anger, where are you? And start kicking it out. And, you know, it lasted for about a week, and then I got super tired of it. I says, you know what? That was what they said. I really don't. And I got up and it was good to go, and I never revisited that thought. But a lot of people have a lot of anger. So I tell them the same thing. Sit down on the floor and kick and scream until, you know, give yourself an hour a day. When you're done, get up. If you do this for 2-3 weeks, I've had some people do it for 6 months or a year, you know, depending on how much is stored up. And finally, they stand up and say, oh, man, I'm super disgusted with that. I'm over with that. I'm on to the next thing. And it's finished. So it's sort of like, let's walk that thing out, you know, and see just how far can you take me to the edge of the thing. And, hey, you don't hold any power over me anymore. And then now you've gained back your power. And really that's all about your book. It's about your own personal power. And it's not power as an ego or power as I'm better than you, or spiritual power, I'm a guru, or health power, I'm a doctor. That stuff doesn't mean anything. You know, it's about your own power to make your own decisions that are in your own best interest, right?
Well, actually, it's more than that. It's how can you give to the world, give to life, give to others in the interest, in the best interests of others and the world, and fully be yourself. That's power. Means that I find myself, I find my happiness and fulfillment not by seeking what's best for me, but by seeking what's best for everything, everybody. If I can do that, then I'm really connected and I'm really loved and really appreciated, and I'm doing something. My life is meaningful. And so, like, if I have anger, maybe that's not a bad thing to be angry. It's just pent up energy.
Right.
But if I redirect that pent up energy, if it's instead of it's frustration against something that my parents or my spouse or whatever did to me or didn't do to me, if I take that energy and instead of trying to get rid of it, if I redirect it creatively into indignation. This is something I don't think needs to be changed in the world. It needs to be changed in my city. It needs to be changed in the environment. Why don't I be consciously an advocate for that? Take the fire inside me instead of it being burning, making smoke and acrid odor. Why don't I use it to create more awareness around me, or more healing around me, or more improvement somewhere, and act from within my own heart of hearts? I then become stronger, and I become more self-respectful, and I become more respected by others. I think that what I'm trying to say here is, I think it's a mistake, and I think it doesn't work in medicine with healing, if we just limit ourselves to ourselves. We become stronger and healthier if we expand outwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a cause. Not being allowed to do that in a way that rings true to who we are, being forced to play roles that aren't really us, being forced to wear masks and be forced to react in ways that we've been trained to react, makes us very compressed inside and very sad and confused and grey inside, and then we get medicated. Instead of learn to find out what it is that makes you feel most yourself, that makes you feel really alive. What is it that you really, really value most about life? What is it you feel makes your life meaningful? And then go for it. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks or projects.
You know, there was a lot of... I live in the New Orleans area, and there is a lot of abuse of the human beings, and I'm going to let it go at that. But you see a lot of this day to day here. And what I have found is that people will stand up and they're really only concerned about, oh, I'm going to find the one that did it. I'm going to point the finger. I'm going to do something to that person. Instead of turning around it and say, how can I be a better person so that, you know, that you don't perpetuate that type of situation, and also help others so that they can see that maybe they're in that situation, you know. So really it's about yourself first changing, but then it's also about helping others see the change, you know, so that maybe they can see the change in themselves and make their changes too. So it's sort of like, what I see it as, like seeding, you know. I'm going to throw out the idea, hey, you know, well, maybe that was for another reason, or maybe something else happened, or just sit there and listen to the people, and you will hear their judgments and their call on it, and you just, you know, set back and see where that goes, and really just be in your own, you know, your own trusting in your own space, really, and knowing yourself first. So many people want to throw it out to other people, but they don't have their own space. In other words, their own lockers aren't cleaned out, you know?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, judgment, the sense of being a victim, the need for vengeance is a terrible poison. And bad things happen. Terrible things happen to people, and they always have, and they probably always will. And justice doesn't come at the end of a gun or by putting bars in the window and that's the end of it. If something heinous has happened to you and hurt you, and it was done to you by somebody, you have two choices. You can either seek to get your own back, or to seek to have that person either killed or punished, retribution, or you can forgive.
Right.
I don't know if your listeners have... I haven't seen the movie, the Louis Zamperini movie by Angelina Jolie.
But no, I've seen
interviews with Louis Zamperini, so are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am, but I haven't seen it either.
I don't particularly want to see it, but the point is that Louis Zamperini, who died last year, aged 97, you know, he was in that horrible Japanese prison of war camp where they were humiliated and brutalized.
Right.
And then he came back to the States, and he was became an alcoholic, very depressed, and his wife was about to leave him. And he went to listen to Billy Graham in the early days talk. And again, I'm not advocating Billy Graham. It's just what happened to Zamperini, and he suddenly had this understanding about the need to forgive, and he changed overnight, stopped drinking, stopped having nightmares, stopped having PTSD, went back to Japan, visited, after the war, all the incarcerated commandants of those prisoner of war camps and shook them by the hand and literally forgave them.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of all this is that if you don't forgive, you're in a cycle of entrapment. You are still being hurt by whoever hurt you. And you're ruining your life because you're not letting, by not letting go of that, not letting in the possibility to really own every second, every minute of your life as you want to and do something good with it. And that's what people don't realize who want vengeance or want punishment, is that they're letting themselves be even more reduced by this inability to forgive. Because if you forgive, then your whole life opens up towards you like a beautiful flower. And you don't, you have power to do beautiful things with your life instead of just trying to hurt whoever hurt you.
Can you share a little bit about risk and trust?
Yes. So we all need to trust. But ultimately, I think that what people have lost trust in is in life itself.
Have they lost trust in themselves?
Yes. They've lost trust in themselves and they've lost trust in life, and it's the same thing, actually.
Okay.
How do you know whether you've lost trust in yourself?
Right. Hmm? Yeah. So many different ways you could say that if you've even lost trust in yourself. You know, but so many people follow other people. They feel like they've lost. They can't trust what they're thinking or what they're feeling or saying or seeing.
Mm-hmm. So if what? You... Right. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think the first question is, do I trust myself? Do I have trust deep inside? Do I have trust in myself? Or do I need to follow some prescription, somebody else, or some leader, or some system, some path that's been mapped out for me?
And people call that faith and hope. Sometimes they believe in their religion's going to save them, or God's going to save them, and no matter what they do with their life, you know, they'll have that blessing when they die, and then they're saved, you know. So they trust that.
Mm-hmm.
Or people, you know, trust that it's everything's not going to be okay. I have to keep fighting. I've heard the comment, the world is a dog-eat-dog place. You know, I've heard that comment, for decades, you know. And I think we have to trust that, you know, we didn't just get dropped from a stork here. There is energy or there's something greater out there, and that we are going to be okay, right?
I think that we have to recognize that nothing comes with a 100% warranty in life.
Mm-hmm.
And life, we don't live forever. We live for a time and then we pass on.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time that we're here, we don't have control over a lot of things going on in the world. And some of those things going on right now in the world are very troubling globally. It's an unsettling time to be alive. It's not a time of stability or reassurance in the world. And that's just where we are. You know, that's just the way it is. But we're here, and it's still a miracle to be here, still a miracle to be alive at all. And what are we going to do with this? How are we going to respond to this miracle of being alive. That's really the key space of reflection. You know, it's not perfectly safe and perfectly the lawn isn't perfectly green and the picket fence isn't perfectly white and everything's sparkling and everything's that's not. Life is more like a jungle or a wide open field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a landscape where things, weather can change, conditions can change, there's harshness, there's also gentleness. Ultimately, there's mystery and there's beauty, and you're part of that. And how can you bring that out in your actions? How can your personal actions, even on a very small scale, respond to the miracle of being alive? And how can you develop your strength, your confidence, your trust in yourself by acting that way, responsibly and reflectively? Not just doing what you're told to be doing without really, really deep inside trusting that that's true and good.
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't think that there's anything wrong with people having religious faith,
mm-hmm.
but because belief is powerful,
right?
But is your faith something that's keeping you just on one track, or is it something else that can broaden and deepen your faith and make it wider and more enlightened, more open? You don't have to say goodbye to it. Then maybe you can, you know, add to it, develop it.
So let's talk about, in closing, about fear and love, because that is what the book is about, the power of letting go. And when we've spoken about all of these things, they all do instill fear in people. They're like, you want me to do what? You want me to not worry about this? You want me to think that everything's going to be okay? I don't think so. So that really is all of their fears in a nutshell. What we've been speaking about for the past 45 minutes is all of their fears. And how do you take that and transform it into love so that, you know, that your life will be greater going forward? And that is what we were talking about, is about giving and serving and receiving and accepting and just being really in a space of being gratitude, having gratitude, you know, all of these different things. So how do you put that together when you speak to people?
Okay, let me make a medical analogy here. So a lot of people have low back issues, degenerative discs and so on.
Right.
And as you probably know, when the patient brings an MRI, X-ray to you, have you look at it, there isn't a direct correspondence between the medical imaging and the patient's level of pain or loss of function. So
right.
that what's picked up radiographically or through the MRI doesn't correspond to what's actually going on in the patient's body. And so this is interesting, that the analytical data by the experts doesn't correspond with reality in your body. Number two, as you know, that once the prognosis, once the patient has been shown these medical images, their prognosis goes down. The prognosis of improvement deteriorates. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
they lose their body inside stops going in a healing trajectory and goes in a collapsing trajectory. It internally starts to implode because it believes in this data given by the doctor, which actually has no basis in reality. It's all an illusion, but it's a very powerful and toxic illusion. So my point with this is life, the mystery is in your body. It's not outside in an expert's head. There's a zillion things to be afraid about in life. But by mastering, by staring down those fears, by looking through those fears, you develop courage and you develop beauty and you can become healthy and strong by awakening your spirit. Things are always going to be scary, going bump in the night in life.
Right.
It's just part of life. But we don't need to become so imprisoned in this sort of timidity and dependency on these so-called protectors or, you know, experts to guide us through the darkness when they're really taking us deeper into the darkness. The only way out of the darkness is to look through. Don't blink. The light, the darkness is part of reality. Through and going through the darkness, you develop the light within yourself, and then you shine it out to others. It's always been like this since the beginning of time. This is why bright spirits are so important for the survival of the species. And we, each of us, has the capacity to be that way if we choose to.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what the book is about. You know, it's about becoming light within your heart of hearts, developing the courage and the freedom, and the happiness will be your reward from that.
And that's really about also living in kindness, compassion, and caring for others. In other words, someone standing in front of you and they're hurting, you can sit and you can be their own, as they would say, doctor. You can be their help. In other words, you're sitting and you're listening, you know, and you're being present. Right there is the greatest light that you can shine for some people, because they are really just on their own path of seeking. I think almost everybody, it seems, these days are all seekers, but they're seeking for different things. But if they can just seek, as you said, you know, to the path to your heart, that's really where we all want to be. And the only way to get there, you can't get there by taking a pill. You can't get there by a big house, a big degree, all this material stuff. Like, as you've said about Hawaii, you know, you can't get to these fabulous places and think that that's going to be the path to your heart. It's not. You know, it could be in a mission. It could be in a rehab place. It could be at the grocery store. You could start paying attention. You know, it could be anywhere, don't you think?
Oh, totally. I mean, the medicine is not really a profession. It's just life. Medicine is everywhere, even at the grocery store, even in your backyard. Absolutely. This is something so, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's so liberating and so important.
You know, I think we have shut ourselves off because we, so many people put up the barrier as well. That other person, you judge their dialogue, their demeanor, or their story before they've even opened their mouth, you know. And sometimes if you can just sit and maybe hear the subtleties rather than the words, sometimes you hear so much more, don't you? I know you've done that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the more you pay attention without judgment to other people, the less you react, the healthier and happier you're going to become, the calmer, stronger you're going to become. Doesn't mean that you have to give in or don't have strong opinions or views, or sometimes have to engage in situations that might even be verging on confrontational, because life sometimes demands these things of us also. But your default is to give respect and listen rather than prejudge. And you, when you're able to do that to others, then you know when it's not being done to you. And then you know that that person is in error by not listening to you, and it doesn't bleed you to death by making you feel like nothing as a consequence. Otherwise, you can be very easily, your self-esteem can crumble inside if you're not being, you know, like you said, going to that party. We all go through this, that people, they may not pay any attention to us because they don't think we're important enough, or what we are about is value to them, so they just cut us out of the equation. And that can be very, very toxic for people. They end up feeling worthless inside.
And what do you recommend people do at that point? I recommend that they just separate themselves from those people and work on themselves first. Because being around it, a lot of times people say, well, I'm going to work on myself this week, and on the weekend, I'm going to wait and see what the response is. In other words, I'm going to test it out, you know? And you go, oh, goodness gracious, you know?
I'm sure you've
heard of that.
Yeah. My advice to people is, one of the pathways to wisdom is learning to ignore what other people say.
Yeah.
You're not obligated to listen and remember what other people say, because most of the time they're not thinking deeply when they're saying things. And most of the stuff being said by people at all levels, from the government down, is just a bunch of nonsense, really. It's not deeply reflected, and therefore it can potentially toxic, which is why having a bit of quiet downtime by yourself, listening to the trees, the birds, listening to the beating of your own heart, maybe the sound of the river or the waves, something natural, takes you away from all of that into this other place of truth and quiet. You need that to restore yourself, restore your sanity, and then each time you step back in the mix, you have a bit more of a buffer. You're no longer caught like a fish in a net by other people's craziness.
Right.
Or judgmental, trigger-happy way of talking.
You know what I find right there in closing? What I find right there is sometimes less talk is better. And I say to people, you know, when you go to that party, you don't need to be the life of the party, chit-chatting away. You don't need to be the one who's got everybody standing around you. You know, you don't have to, you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes silence is the best, you know, just be, you know, who you are. And as you said, be true to yourself. And you don't, as you say, you don't always have to be out to prove yourself either. You have to know who you are for yourself. And that's really where so many are getting caught up in that last little glitch these days, I think.
Well, I think medicine doesn't do very well. It doesn't teach people about body language.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you go to a social situation, somebody's standing there talking, you're there not being listened to maybe. What is that other person's body language, and what does your body language express? What do you feel? Where do you feel tense, or do you feel your own body?
Mm-hmm.
What's being communicated non-verbally? Because most of communication is not done with the words; it's done through the body,
language.
And most health problems start with compression in the body somewhere, leading to a cancer or something, maybe life-threatening. So learning to be at ease within your own body and communicate that non-verbally is also guaranteeing your health to be improved. So I think it comes down to learning to be embodied, learning to be happy, more aware and more fluid as you move and express yourself with your body, and learn to become more insightful, reading other people's body language. So you know if they're telling the truth or just spin a yarn just by the way that they're holding their body. And then you're not tricked, and you're not dragged into a situation which you after just leaves you a bad taste in your mouth.
Right. Well, Nicholas, I'll tell you, we could go on talking forever, and we haven't even gotten to speaking about your vibropuncture stuff. And I'm like, oh, goodness, we could go on forever. You'll have to come back again for another show. Would you be, if you're interested, we would love to have you.
Oh, no, I'd be delighted. I mean, I'd be honored to. And you just let me know if and when, and we can set that up.
Well, great. I think a lot of people, they sometimes are just trying, you know, and I always like to have as much as I can on this show because, and share our personal stories, because I think they're always so important to realize that, hey, that person that you're putting on that pedestal, you know, what is their story? Everybody's got a story, you know. And it just depends if they've gone through it, if they're denying it, or if they're kicking it to the curb. So what we like to always say is, you know, how do we go through it? How do we, because maybe we don't want to kick it to the curb or deny it. We want to go through it and learn from it. So I really think that's vitally important these days, is how many different ways we can say it, how many different words we can use, and so people can understand. I think that's so vitally important.
That's true. I mean, everybody has a story and needs to be able to express that story and that story. Mm-hmm.
Well, Nicholas, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you share with the listeners your website? And that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, actually, we're just rebuilding the website. We have a very exciting new website that will be coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Cool.
With lots of images and information about what we do up here. And that website is www.friday, like the day Friday, Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, Holistic Health, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, H-E-A-L-T-H.com. That's Friday Harbor, holistichealth.com. And if you'll be patient enough to just wait a couple of weeks, you'll see the full spread of everything that we do and what Dr. Jeanette and I have been just tip of the iceberging here. And hopefully that will interest you, and maybe we'll continue the thread another time here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Nicholas. It's a pleasure
My
to
pleasure,
have you.
My pleasure, Dr. Jeanette. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more about Nicholas Koren, his book is The Power of Letting Go, Transforming Fear into Love. The link is on the bottom of today's show page. Do click on there and go directly to the website. I'm sure when the website is updated, it will also be linked right in there too, and you'll be able to find it with no problems. And if you're having trouble, please do reach out. Please do, you know, listen to some of the shows. Pick up some of the books from the authors we've spoken about. Contact Dr. Nicholas. Contact myself. You know, it's all about getting your story out there. And believe me, there is no one that does not have a story of pain and suffering that they feel that they just are having a difficult time. That's why everybody's sick these days. Hey, you know, just look around you. It's almost everybody. So don't feel like you're out of the loop, but just you might be asking the wrong people for support and help. So please do reach out. It is vitally important that you reach out. And thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.